church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those are good ways to begin hearing the proclamation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be here. There are so many other places that I could be that would not be as good as this place. Whenever you're in the house of the Lord, it's a good thing. Thanks to the worship leader for her masterful leading us this morning. To the musicians, that John Schaefer is a real gem. I guess you know that though, right? I've already brought you greetings in the name of our risen Savior and on behalf of the Harrisburg First Church of the Brethren, where we have been serving the Lord for 121 years strong. Anyone who knows anything about the good news of Jesus agrees that he was concerned about peace. On the night of his birth, the angel and the heavenly host announced, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." Throughout the New Testament, we are instructed about peace. I'm so glad to see you have these beautiful banners behind me that depict messages about peace. Today's gospel reading is set at the time of the Last Supper, the night before Jesus gives himself over to death for our sakes. In it, Jesus tells his disciples that they should not grieve or sorrow over his going from them, that at his going, he would not only bestow the Holy Spirit upon them to teach and comfort them, but he would leave them his peace. Hear his words again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. What a wonderful set of words. A wonderful promise, this promise of peace. Yet there's a strangeness to them as well. A strangeness found in the last phrase which says, I do not give to you as the world gives. What do these words mean for us? For those of us who greet one another with the words, the peace of Christ be with you. What is this peace that Christ gives and that we pray upon one another? The peace that he gives, which is not like that which the world gives. There's a story told about peace that may help answer that question. The origins of this story are variously assigned from author unknown to named persons who have retold it in varied versions. This morning, I give you the Mitchell version. It seems that one day an artist was commissioned by a wealthy man to paint something that would depict peace. After a great deal of thought, the artist painted a beautiful country scene. There were green fields with cows standing in them, birds were flying in the blue sky, and a lovely little village lay in a distant valley. The artist gave the picture to the man, but there was a look of disappointment on the man's face. And he said to the artist, "This isn't a picture of true peace. It isn't right. Go back and try it again." The artist went back to his studio, thought for several hours about peace, then went to his canvas and again began to paint. When he was finished, there on the canvas was a beautiful picture of a mother holding a sleeping baby in her arms, smiling lovingly at the child. He thought, "Surely this is true peace," and hurried to give the picture to the wealthy man. But again, the wealthy man refused the painting and asked the painter to try again. The artist returned again to his studio. He was discouraged, he was tired, and he was disappointed. You can imagine, anger swelled inside of him. He felt the rejection of this wealthy man, and again he thought, he even prayed for inspiration to paint a picture of true peace. Then all of a sudden, you know how the light bulb goes off? All of a sudden, an idea came. He rushed to the canvas and began to paint as he had never painted before. When he finished, he hurried to the wealthy man. He gave the painting to the man. He studied it carefully for several minutes. The artist held his breath. Then the wealthy man said, "Now this is a picture of true peace." He accepted the artist the painting, paid the artist, and everyone was happy. And what was this picture of true peace? The picture showed a stormy sea pounding against a cliff. The artist had captured the fury of the wind as it whipped black rain clouds laced with streaks of lightning. The sea was roaring in turmoil, waves churning, the dark sky filled with the power of the furious thunderstorm. And in the middle of the picture, under a cliff, the artist had painted a small bird, safe and dry in her nest, snuggled safely in the rocks. The bird was at peace in the midst of the storm that raged around her. This seems to be a portion of the picture of peace that Jesus gives. Not a worldly kind of peace, the peace of a spot in nature, beautiful and serene, the peace of a mother and child, tender and gentle, the peace of an absence of conflict where there are no storms or violent waves. Jesus gives a peace of knowing that in the midst of turmoil, there is a rock which can shelter us, a place where we can nurture and raise a new generation without fear, a power that can spread its wings over us and keep us safe. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal." As one of our hymns says, "Peace which passes understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live." That's in number 526, verse 3, "In the rifted rock I'm resting." Do you guys ever sing that song? Our organist loves that song. So many of us look for peace in this world. We look for the safe places where there's nothing that can disturb us. We look for the quieting of our hearts, disturbed so often by fear. We look for assurance, for hope, for joy. And this is a good thing to do, for God does not want us to suffer needlessly. Somebody missed it in the back. Let me say it again. God does not want us to suffer needlessly. Many of us also pray about peace not only for us inside our hearts and inside our families. We pray for peace in the world, for an end to armed conflicts, an end to war and terrorism, an end to the violence that nations and individuals do to one another. And this too is a good thing to do, this praying for peace. I do it all the time in my work as a peacemaker and justice seeker. Yet I often think we look for peace in a way that is not helpful, and even perhaps pray for peace in a way that is not helpful. We look for peace. We seek peace, thinking of it as an end to those things that disturb us, an absence of fear, as an absence of conflict, as an absence of turmoil. And I believe we forget that the lack of peace in our hearts and in our world is a consequence of other factors rather than the actual problem we are facing. Think about it. Think about it. In Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. Shalom is much more than the absence of things that disturb us. Peace is rather linked to the concept of wholeness, of being at one with God and with our neighbors and ourselves, of not only having an absence of war, but of having the causes of war, greed, hate, fear, and their children, injustice, intolerance, and prejudice eliminated, of not having not only an absence of pain and distress, such as what pain-killing drugs might provide, but of having the disease that causes the pain and the distress cured. And don't you know that this is why Jesus was here with us. This is what he was about when he walked among humanity, and what he is about through his Spirit from his place next to the Father above as we await the new heaven and the new earth. The heaven and earth we love to sing about. New earth, heavens new, Spirit of God moving. You know that song, don't you? The heaven and the earth to be inherited by those who keep faith with him. The one to be inherited by those who claim the vision and walk by the light it sheds. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Jesus was and Jesus is one who heals the disease rather than one who simply covers up the symptoms. Come on now, lights. Amen, lights. That's what the book says. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And that's what the heart says. The heart of faith. You see, I believe that we have the ability to live as peacemakers because of what we've been taught by the Prince of Peace. Somebody has to teach us the way of peace. Somebody had to teach me. I didn't grow up being a peacemaker. I grew up under the rule, you hit me, I hit you back. Do unto others before they do to you. Somebody has to teach us the way of peace. Somebody has to teach us how to reconcile. Can't we just all get along is what the late Rodney King asked as riots broke out in the greater Los Angeles area following the acquittal of three police officers and a mistrial of the fourth, who were captured by video, viciously beating King in the greater Los Angeles area in 1992. You might not know it, but I'm a transplant from Southern California, having been here on the East Coast for a mere 14 years, but living there for nearly 30. The supporters of Black Lives Matter are asking similar questions in 2017. This will not happen all by itself, friends. However, we can be carefully taught the ways of peace. We can be carefully taught how to love. We can be carefully taught what reconciliation is all about. And I suggest, this is Pastor Belita Mitchell speaking here, I suggest that living as peacemakers requires us to understand that the peace which the world can't give as it comes only from Christ. That is the peace that we need to understand and to act on the knowledge that this peace is possible not only for us, but for others as well. If we, as followers of Christ, are to lead lives as peacemakers, then we must walk in God's paths. We must model peacemaking. We have a guide for our walking and to provide assurance to us that we can walk. But more than that, we have one who is able to bring about what he has promised, one who is able to bring to pass that new world that we're looking forward to. It can happen right here, right now, in this place, all across the United States of America and even the world. We know this for two reasons. The first being that what was promised in the past has been performed by him. The prophecies made have come true. And the second reason is we are witnesses to how he brings to pass new people, transform people, people who have moved from blindness to sight, from despair to hope, from sickness to health, from hatred of self to love of all, from death to life. Can I get a witness? You're looking at such a person right before you. And the more than a destination, we know that God provides us direction. More than a vision that provides us hope. More than a goal that keeps us busy, we have a presence right here, right now. We have a presence that comforts us and helps us to know peace and to share peace this day and every day that we wake up and draw in fresh air and we can say, thank you, God, that I'm still alive and I can do the work of being a peacemaker. You see, the Word of God works toward wholeness. And I suggest that living as peacemakers requires us to understand the peace which the world can't give, as it comes only from Christ. Where does it come from? Not Walmart. Where does it come from? Not Macy's. It comes only from Christ. We need to know this and understand this peace and to act on the knowledge that this peace is possible. For who? For me, for you, and for others, as long as we take the word to them and help them to know what it means. And you know what? Sometimes it just means starting with a smile. You ever heard about the angry black woman? I go through my life day by day trying not to be that person. So every chance I get, I got a smile plastered on my face. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I just want to share a little love. I just want to show you what it means to be at peace. If we as followers of Christ are committed to lives of peacemaking, then we must walk where? In God's paths. We must do what? Model peacemaking. We must be a community where it does not matter so much where you've been or what you've done, but that you too are able to be redeemed. Oh, lights. I know you hear me. Amen, lights. We must always be mindful that the church is not just a bunch of law-abiding middle-class folks who get together every Sunday to applaud one another and pat each other on the back. Hello. The church ought to be a gathering of the wounded and the hurting, the broken and the distressed, all of whom are being brought back to life by the Spirit of God. The church is a fellowship of the last, the least, the lost, and the lonely, who do not prey on one another's faults. Rather, they feel one another's pain and attend to one another's hurts. This fellowship carries the gift of peace, costly peace, to one another. Living as peacemakers is not only teaching God's truths, but also walking in God's paths. Living as peacemakers requires that we act in faith, spurred by the love of Christ that is within us. Do you have any love this morning, church? Yes. If you do, then there ought to be a big smile on your face, and you ought to not have your arms folded, but you ought to be able to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, it has to all begin in the heart. It must be about peace with God. It must be about being secure in the knowledge that if you forgive others their debts, so also will your heavenly Father forgive you. It's about having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be peacemakers because we have found peace ourselves. And that was a major lesson for me to learn. And I'm so glad that the Lord let me learn it as early as he did, before I got too long in the tooth and too feeble in the limbs, that I could walk in the light and shine and reflect the light of God in my heart and in my smile and in my hello and in my desire for everyone to know the peace of Christ. A person cannot be a peacemaker in this sense until first he or she finds peace for themselves. The source of peace is God, and through Christ we experience that peace. Now God is making his appeal through us. This is our calling today, every single one of us. This presence that I'm talking about is the presence of Christ himself, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Almighty God, the presence that says there is something on the inside working on the outside that brought about a change in my life. You see, they don't let me sing in the choir, so I take liberties in the pulpit. In part, this is what Jesus means when he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. He does not give as the world gives because what he gives is effective. What he gives is eternal. What he gives cannot and will not fail. He gives us peace with God through his love, through his life, and through his death and his resurrection. And he gives us a new world through his sharing with us the eternal plan of God. Do you know what that eternal plan of God is? Well, it goes beyond even the picture of the artist that I started with. The picture of the bird sitting safely in its nest in the midst of a violent storm. I'm reminded of the great promises made by God through the prophet Isaiah, how God spoke to Israel when the nation was in captivity and called the people to remember no more the things of the past. For behold, he said, I do a new thing. As I remembered how God, in fact, set his people free from slavery in Babylon a few years later, and about how God brought the former things he prophesied to pass, I recognize we are, in fact, in the same position today as the people of Israel were then. We are in captivity. A spiritual captivity that tempts us to cling to the past and to complain about the present rather than to move into the future with confidence. One person asked, what would it be like if instead of complaining that things are not perfect here in the church or at home or at work, we instead claimed the promises of God and praised God for all the good things he is working on in our midst even now? We like to say at Harrisburg First, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And we like to give God the praise and the glory and the honor for even the smallest things because we know that the best is yet to come. What would it be like if instead of moaning about how 1 out of 3 marriages fail, Pastor, we thanked God for how 2 out of 3 work? Come on now. You know, these statistics, they can twist things. They can give you the wrong point of view. How many people in the house today have been married for 20 years or more? 30 years or more? 40 years or more? Come on now, what's that divorce rate they keep talking about? How many are waiting to find Mr. Right or Miss Right? Let the Lord send them. They're on the way. What would it be like if instead of getting agitated about how few people helped out when asked to help out, we got excited about how many people help out all the time, often without being asked? How many times do we stop to take the time to seek those people out and to thank them for their devotion and their service? Or instead of complaining about all the bad news that we can so easily complain about, we spoke of the good things that God is doing in lives all around us all the time. And I know we got some testimonies under the sound of my voice. How many times do you share the good things that God is doing in your life? What would it be like? What would our church be like? And eventually our whole community, what would it be like if instead of sweating about all the little stuff that goes wrong, we really got a hold of the promises of God and looked to the light instead of the darkness, delighting in all of the little stuff that goes right as signs of God's faithfulness towards us and toward the world he has made. I remind people all the time, even though it may seem like a jungle out there, God is still in control. Even though it may seem like the world's been turned upside down, God is still on the throne, and he has promised his people to never leave nor forsake them. He has promised us life, and that abundantly so. It's an intriguing set of questions that I've just asked, isn't it? A set of questions that reminds us that there are more enduring things than the pains we experience, more important things to do than simply moan about what is not good, things to do that decrease pain and increase wholeness to the glory of God. As Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. See? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the prisoners are set free. That's Mitchell's paraphrase. Peace is found in living a life of faith. Peace is found in walking according to the words of Christ. Peace is found in trusting in the living God and his everlasting love. We have a God able to accomplish all that he purposes, a God who vanquishes death and opens the way to eternal life to all, a God who serves where others would rule and rules where no other force can rule. I'm prone to say we have a God who can do anything but fail. You see, my friends, the world is in turmoil. There's a great storm raging around us, yet look to the good that is also around us and do the good as Paul calls us to do in today's epistle. By keeping his word, do it knowing that this word will not return to us nor to God empty, but will accomplish all that it is meant to accomplish. We have work to do. And with God's help, we can get it done. The peace of Christ is not simply a peace of huddling on the nest while the storm rages. It is a peace of knowing that when the storm is over, it's over forever, and all of creation will be at peace. As the scripture says, and I quote, "Weeping may endure for an evening, but joy comes in the morning." Won't you pray with me? Compassionate and loving God, you promised to leave us your peace, a peace unlike that which the world offers to us. Oh God, lead us all to that peace. Help us to trust in your living word and to do what you ask of us. Grant us a confident faith. Give us courage. Give us the faith that looks to the light rather than the darkness, a faith that dares to enter the turmoil of the world, knowing that you are making the world new. Help us, we pray, dear Father, to die with Christ so that we also might live with him and be Christ to the world that needs to know about the peace that passes all understanding. Do this according to your divine will. And we ask these things as we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus, as all God's people said, amen. Amen.